Good morning. Good morning. We're going to go for round two. Y'all good this morning? Yes. Man, there's a lot of y'all here today. I like it. Deciding to venture out and see some people and get around and, you know, wear your masks and all that fun stuff and, you know, praise Jesus this morning. That's good. We like it. We're glad that you're here. Thanks for joining us if you're here in person. Thanks for joining us if you're online or watching through Facebook. We're excited to get to continue our series called Overflow. Kevin was wrong, though. We're not wrapping it up today. We got one more week after this one. I'm sorry. So if you could just bear with me for, you know, one more week, we'll do that. But we're going to continue in the series that's based out of Isaiah. It comes from Isaiah 12:3 that says, "With joy you will draw from water from wells of salvation." And also Luke 6:45 that says, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." And so our sermon title today is called, "What You Talking About, Willis?" You know, Gary Coleman made that line famous. If you've never seen Different Strokes, you need to educate yourself. Go back and watch some Different Strokes. I was just watching the episode just because while I was preparing for this message, I was like, "What you talking about, Willis?" You know, and I was just in my brain, I was like, you know, I want to go back and watch some of the little Arnold, you know, talking. If you don't know who Gary Coleman is, then again, you need to educate yourself on Different Strokes and things like that. But it was a great TV series, and he made that line famous throughout the series, asking the question if someone would say something to him, he'd be like, "What you talking about, Willis?" And so it was just super funny, and I thought that fit well with our sermon today because the passage of Scripture, we're going to be in John 13, if you'll turn in your Bibles. It's a great place to be, and it's a great place to ask the question. And maybe instead of Willis, we say, "What you talking about, Jesus?" You know, just kind of sitting there thinking to ourselves. And so we're gonna come to that Scripture here in a few minutes, but I kind of wanted to talk about my childhood for a minute. I grew up a middle kid. Are there any other middle kids in the room? Middle kid only. Don't raise your hand if you're the firstborn or the lastborn. You don't count. Okay? It's the middle kid who makes the things run around here. Okay? The middle kid's the one that got all the dirty jobs. The middle kid's the one, you know, who had to do all the chores. You know, the oldest kid never got in trouble. Never got in trouble. The youngest kid got babied, never got in trouble. The middle kid, John, no, you're not me. So I had an older brother, an older sister, and a younger brother. And so my sister and me are both the middle kids. Now, she's a girl, so she don't count, okay? And I mean that in respect, not in gender respect, but she is my sister. And in the family of boys, the sister, she was the one that, it didn't matter what she did. "Oh, sweetie, it's okay. What did you do?" You know, like, it's like, wait a minute, that's not fair, you know, but that's how it was. So I was a middle kid, and so anytime that chores came along, you know, I had to do the sorriest of the sorry chores, you know, and, you know, all the middle kids understand that completely. If you're a firstborn, you'll never understand it, okay? Oh, you're the queen bee. Look at you. Oh, the prince. Oh, look at you. All in knight in shining armor, never do wrong, my little baby, you know. And my little brother, you know, the baby of the, you know, you guys get it. So anyway, there's good things that come from, though, from chores, right? So when you have to do chores and things like that, and I remember my mom always telling us, you know, okay, hey, it's time to do chores, and me being like, you know, I really don't want to do chores. I don't really want to clean my room or anything like that. Even as adults now, right? You know that it's time to do chores when your house is kind of in disrepair. It's kind of like you're like, I have to do laundry. And the people who do laundry in your house understand what that means because laundry just grows. Even as you do laundry, it grows. You're like, it's time to do laundry. And then you're like three or four loads in and you're like, is this ever going to stop? Are we ever going to stop? There are two people living here. How do we have so much clothes? How is this possible? But you understand. And then it's like towels and sheets and blankets. And you're like, and then the dryer never dries your sheets the way that you want them to dry or your blankets. And you got to, anyway, you guys get the chores. But there's a lot of good that comes from that. You learn a lot of things when you're younger. So if you're younger and you're watching or listening, or if you're here and you're younger, listen. Doing chores brings an understanding of discipline. You understand how to do things. You understand how you have to do things. You can't just put the sheet in the in the old times, we had a washing machine that, you know, kind of lifted up. Like, it's not one of these like front loader things that we have now, or we have. It was one of those ones that you kind of do this, and we didn't have liquid. We had powder. And so if you put the clothes in and then the powder in, there was a very high possibility that you were going to get clothes with powder just caked onto them because you didn't do it the right way. So you start your thing, and then you put the powder in, then you put the clothes in, and you're golden. But if you do it the other way, there's a way to do things. And when you do chores, there's a way to do things, right? You sweep. Well, we sweep so that we're not double working ourselves. We mop so we don't mop and then walk forward, and then mop and walk forward, because then we have to mop over what we just walked over. So there's ways that you learn. So there's disciplines that you learn, making your bed and things like that, right? There's also responsibilities that you learn. You learn responsibility and having to take care of things and why you need to take care of things and how to take care of things, right? And the other good things that kind of come with allowance is that you get money. 9 out of 10 times, you know, if you don't get money, you get it in terms of money. Like, well, we provide power and water and gas and a roof over your head and food and transportation, and all of those things cost things, and so you get an allowance in that way, in that respect. But we were grateful and appreciative enough and had the great opportunity to get an allowance. Now, the allowance that we got was very, very small. I don't know if you guys get allowance now. I wouldn't want to pay allowance these days because of inflation. I'm sure allowance now is probably $10 or $20 a job or something. I don't know, but back when we were kids, it's like you get a quarter. Or, you know, 50 cents. And I'm not even that old. Like, so, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, my mom and dad, you know, it was like, well, do your chores. Just do what you're supposed to do. So we would do that. But there's a lot you can learn from that. But chores are not fun, right? Anybody with me on that deal? Even as an adult, chores are not fun. You do chores as an adult because you have to do chores. If you don't do chores, well, people label you as a hoarder or, you know, trashy, or, you know, whatever, you don't care, or whatever the case may be, right? Just take your teenager's bedroom, for instance, right? What are the things that you're going to find in there? We don't know. Don't look under the bed. There are things there that have never been identified, right? So over the past 2 weeks, we've been in this series called Overflow, and we've been dealing with different situations and looking at different stories throughout the Bible and Jesus's ministry, and we've been using John because it's very specific. And so we've been talking about specifically how God's love can overflow our vessels. We've been using a bucket as an image. Our heart is like a bucket in God's well of love and dipping that water. And we've been talking about how we have to repair our hearts. You know, we have to be forgiven of our sins first. So we have to have a clean vessel, a worthy vessel, before we are able to overflow God's heart. But then also at the same time, we have to make sure that we are not broken, and that we have been forgiven for the brokenness and allowed that forgiveness to kind of come in so that we can be, an overflowing vessel of God's love. And so where we're going to kind of be going today is that God pours out into our heart so that we can have this overflow of God's love, but more specifically, this overflow of God's love in reference to serving others. Okay, and so we kind of been walking down that road, and we talked about John the Baptist, you know, and recognizing, people recognizing their need for forgiveness. And people walked to find John the Baptist in the desert. They sought out forgiveness. People went to find forgiveness. And Jesus even said, hey, look, you know, I think that John the Baptist is one of the greatest, that no one greater has come. And it's a big deal for him to be acknowledged as that. But as big of a deal that was, when the Messiah stepped onto the scene, he was even bigger and he was even greater. And so what needed to happen was the people needed to know this Messiah. And John the Baptist pointed the way and was preparing, right? He was preparing the way for Jesus. He was preparing our vessels to be able to overflow with God's love. And so then last week, we talked about the woman at the well and how she had a traumatic life experience, right? People looked down on her because of her gender. People looked down on her because of her race. People looked down on her because of her past. Okay, we've all been there before. We talked about different things and the brokenness that we feel inside of our hearts, and that we've felt that, you know, and we've had to walk down that road. And maybe we've been the people who were on the other side, not the broken ones, but maybe we were breaking the things. We were the one who was casting judgment. We were the one who was looking down on someone for certain things. And so today we want to walk through this passage of John 13 because we know that Jesus is coming to restore us, to free us from pain, to forgive us from all this stuff that we've been doing. And Jesus is going to model something to us today, I think, that's going to set fairly well with us. It's going to be one of those moments where we see Jesus in a different light. Now, you're very familiar with this passage, or most believers are familiar with this passage, and so hopefully you can kind of gain some things this morning. So don't check out on me just because you've read John 13 before. Don't check out on me just because, you know, well, I know Jesus washes his feet, blah, 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 blah. You know, listen, that's great that you know that. There are people in this room who have read the Bible forwards and backwards and backwards and forwards 1,000 times, and God's word is new every day. And he will reveal his heart to you, and he will reveal things to you that you've never seen before. So this morning, as we look into this, let's look at how God launches this mission inside of us. He launches this mission of forgiveness and healing through serving and through taking the lowliest act that can be found. And he humbles himself as our Savior. He humbles himself to do this. And so just a few minutes ago, we talked about chores, right? I want to know, though, honestly, if you guys have like a chore that you hate to do. Like, I loathe this. Like, I will do it because I have to do it, but what is it? Somebody have one that they want to hear? This is crowd participation for a minute. I want to hear. What's that? Painting the bathroom? Oh, cleaning the bathroom. Okay, cleaning the bathroom. Dusting furniture. You do that? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. That's why we have air filters. Anybody else? Huh? Washing windows. Washing baseboards. That's coming from a teenager in the back. Look out. Anybody else? What's your chore that you just don't like? Okay, how about this? Instead of you not wanting to talk, on the count of three, I just want you to yell it out to me. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. See, listen, all you sorry suckers in here, listen, you don't want to talk, but as soon as the crowd talks, you'll talk, you know, whatever. But you understand what I'm saying. You've got the chore that you don't like to do and that nobody wants to do, and you still do it anyway. Cleaning bathroom is probably one of them, you know. Nobody wants to clean the commode. Nobody wants to clean out behind the, you know, like, yeah, you get it. You get it. But there's not really any favorite chores, are there? Are there really any favorite chores? I mean, like, I love this chore. Some people are like, I love to cut the grass, John. What are you talking about? It gives me outside. I get it. But, you know, you wouldn't do it if you didn't have to do it, probably. You just cut for hay and move on, right? Let it go. But I like to do chores now that I'm an adult. I know that kind of sounds weird, but I'm kind of OCD in that way. That, like, I want certain things done a certain way, or want certain things put up in a certain way, or I want my towels folded a certain way, or I want, you know, my shirt to be folded a certain way so that it doesn't, like, you know, crease in the wrong spot or get wrinkly, right? Like, this is super weird, and I'll move on from this, but I want to fold my undershirts when they come out of the dryer so that they don't get wrinkly, because then it feels weird when I put my overshirt on. It just feels weird. I know that's awkward and weird, but get over it. So let's look at the Bible. John chapter 13, starting in verse 1, we're going to read through this passage. We'll come back and chop it up. I'm reading from the ESV version. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered, What am I doing? What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. And Peter said, You shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, Not all of you are clean. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." Let's pray. Father, you are good to us, and you are faithful. And Father, I pray during this time, Lord, that we would be wise in seeking out you in the scriptures. Father, we pray for guidance as we walk this road, Father, that you would teach us. Teach us how to be like you. Teach us to take your example, to see how you would handle things, Father. Thank you for humbling yourself and loving us. Speak to us this morning. We ask in your son's name, amen. So I know, again, earlier that, you know, we had talked about some chores, and I know that most of you, if you've read the Bible and you've studied the Bible, that you know that in this passage that Jesus has decided to do the one thing that no one would ever think that he would do. He is the Messiah. He is the one who has come, and he sits in this moment and does something that people would never. I bet $1 million he would never do. Da 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 da. And he chooses to do this. Okay. See, when people traveled back then, they didn't have hiking boots and Nike running shoes and things like that. You know, they wore their sandals, and it wasn't paved roads. It was very rocky and dirty and gross. And if your children have played outside for any period of time and it's been dry like it's been, you understand what that means. Maybe you've gone hiking or you've gone somewhere and you've worn your Chacos or your Tevas or something like that, and your feet just get gross. Y'all know what I'm talking about? When we were little kids, we called it having grocery store feet. Because a long time ago, you could run around in the grocery store barefoot. And when you came out of that grocery store, the bottoms of your feet were disgusting. And so we called it grocery store feet. And so, anyway, so maybe you've had grocery store feet before and you understand. But when the disciples entered and walked somewhere, it was normal. It was hospitality for you to enter someone's home that you would have your feet washed. But it wasn't just washed by like, hey, let me wash your feet. They would have somebody specific to do that. And specifically, it would be the lowliest of the lowliest of their servants. So it would be like the bottom tier, the middle kid, okay? And so it would be like the bottom tier would have to do this. And so it would be just kind of gross, really gross, if you can imagine. Because I'm pretty sure that there wasn't somebody picking up animal manure just along the road like we would have today. Somebody picking those things up. I mean, people weren't walking around with little doggy bags, you know, picking up their, you know, little pets' droppings, right? It was probably gross. And when it rained and when it got gross, you understand. So it's an important ordeal, though, to demonstrate hospitality when you would have one of your slaves clean your feet when you entered into someone's home. And so, of course, Jesus steps into this deal, and he takes this action to do this for the disciples, and the disciples are literally in awe because of this act of humility, because of what he does, so much so that Simon says, "Hey, Jesus, whoa, stop. Don't wash my feet. This is not for you to do." He's appalled in this moment, saying, "No, don't do that." And Jesus, of course, responds like this, verse 6-7. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand, but afterward you will." And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." And this is a moment for Simon Peter and I guess the rest of the disciples at the same time, right? Jesus makes this foot washing deal here a big deal. This is an enormous thing for him. And he's wanting them to understand how big of a deal this truly is, right? He wants the disciples to have a firsthand experience at this, or a first foot experience at this, right? Come on. You know that was good. Come on. Okay, listen, dad jokes, all right? But you understand that he wanted a firsthand experience for them to see their teacher becoming a servant. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so there's this moment with the disciples, this intimate moment where Jesus steps away from being a teacher to being a servant. And if there's a lowlier place, there's not a lowlier servant place that they can think of at this point, because literally the person to take off these people's sandals and wash hands, it just doesn't. This is not, we don't understand. I know that we don't get it. I know we don't get it. But this is a big deal that Jesus, the Messiah, would take off their sandals and wash their feet. That he would humble himself that low. Did Jesus have to do that to teach servanthood? Couldn't Jesus have come up with another way? Couldn't he have just said, boom, okay, you understand servanthood? He could have done those things, but he wanted to model for them what it was like to serve. That's what leaders do. They lead by service, right? So let's carry on. So verses 12 to 17, it says this, says, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And see, Jesus sets up this moment for this amazing example of faithful discipleship, right? He's sitting there telling them, if I've done this for you, then you do this for other people, right? If I've been a servant to you and you've benefited from my love and you've benefited from me serving you, then you know what? You should do this then. Then what you do is, because you've received this from me, then you do this for other people. Does that make sense what I'm saying? That's what the scripture says right there. You should serve as I have served. You should love as I have loved. You should do as I have done. That's what Jesus is telling his disciples here. You guys have to understand too that John chapter 13 to like John chapter 17 is Jesus' farewell. Like this is his beginning of the end, if you will. This is his beginning speech. It's this big old discourse on what needs to happen. And I'm not going to be here much longer, but this is how I want you to live. And this is what I want you to have to do your life. I want you to think about this, the bucket, your vessel, your heart, and how many times God has forgiven you, and how many times God has healed your brokenness, and how many times God has poured himself into your heart, and how many times God has restored you to a nice, beautiful, amazing vessel. How many times has that happened in your life? Because you can imagine it being over and over and over and over again. We could sit around this room right now and talk about story after story after story as God's providence, the way that he's provided, the way that he loves us, the way that he cares for us, the way that he takes care of us, the way that he takes care of all things and things that you never thought were going to happen. He did because he loves you, and he did because he made your vessel new. He did those things because he loves you, right? And so because he loves you and because he does all these things for you, what he's calling us to do is do the same. He's calling us to say, hey, look, I did this for you. You do this for others. So let's say that we have a bucket. We have a bucket. Let's say that we have this bucket and it's sitting outside and we actually get some rain. And this bucket fills up with water. It's a couple things that happen, right? So this bucket fills up with water. That's what happens, okay? And, let's just say that we leave that bucket full of water. A couple things are going to happen. One thing that's going to happen is the bucket's going to fill up water, and because it's so stinking hot outside, it's not going to last very long. It's just going to evaporate and be gone. And then your bucket's going to be empty and dry again. Y'all with me on that? Follow? Okay. And it's just going to be an empty bucket. But then there's another thing that could happen to this bucket. Another thing that could happen to this bucket is it could fill up with water. And then maybe it's not so hot outside. Maybe it's 80s or 70s or something. This bucket just fills with water, and it sits with water in it. What happens to this water that sits in this bucket? It gets nasty. It could be the best rain water in the world. And you're like, ooh, I want to drink that. Don't drink that, right? But then it sits, and over time it sits, and it gets gross, and it gets smelly. Y'all ever smelled a bucket full of water that's been sitting for a long time? I don't mean like a day or two. I mean, it has formed a sludge that's kind of got in there, and you're like, ooh, how did that happen? And then you see these little bitty things that look like worms kind of, you know, floating around in the water and moving around. Those are called mosquitoes that are in the water because that's where they come and they lay their eggs in the water. And all of a sudden, you got a bucket full of, you know, gross, icky water, and bugs are forming, and it's nasty. It's nasty. See, in the same way, Jesus offers us water from wells of salvation. See, that comes out of Isaiah 12:3, right? He offers us water from wells of salvation. And so what happens is Jesus forgives us, right? He heals our hearts. He moves in our hearts. He allows us to have these useful vessels, right? These useful buckets that he wants to overflow. And see, what happens with our useful bucket is that we carry God's love into places that we haven't been able to carry God's love for. Now, if our vessel is broken and busted and icky and all those kinds of things, it's not a useful vessel anymore, because by the time we get to the back door, all the water's gone out of the bucket and we don't have anything to give. So what God does is he heals our vessels, he heals our hearts, right? And then we become filled with the salvation that comes from the Lord, and we take that salvation and we take that love and we go to places and do things because of his love and what he's done for us, right? Right? That's what's supposed to happen. Come on now, that's what's supposed to happen. It would be naive of me to think that everybody's vessel in here, A, is not broken, B, is beautiful before the Lord, and C, that you go and do that on a daily basis. That you take that vessel and pour out God's love wherever you are, wherever you go. Because sometimes, let's just be honest, we just ain't feeling it. What you talking about, Willis? You want me to what? Hold on. You want me to take God's love into those places and to do those things with those people? What you talking about, Willis? I don't think so. That's not going to happen. And don't sit in that chair or sit at home on that couch and think for just a second that you have never been there. Because we've all been there. We've all been at those places before. I'm tired. You know what I've been doing this weekend? I've been taking care of kids by myself. I ain't got time to do all that kind of stuff. Do you see the piles of clothes over there? I've got to do all that laundry. Do you know I got to go clean that toilet in there because my son has used the bathroom everywhere and can't get it? Come on. Yeah, my mom had three boys. Don't you know we heard that? But there's a place that you know you've all been before. And see, God's love is designed for all people. I'm going to say that again. God's love is designed for all people. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever, all people, right? Whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And the truth is, we've been guilty of excluding people from God's love. We've been guilty of not showing God's love because of certain things, right? Let's just take the woman at the well last week. She was excluded from God's love because she was a woman. She was excluded from God's love because she was a different race. She was excluded from God's love because of her past. You've been there before. Don't sit there and cast judgment on those people because you've done the same thing. Maybe it wasn't because of race. Maybe it wasn't because of gender. Maybe it wasn't because of their past. But maybe it was because they didn't have as much money as you. Maybe because they're at a different socioeconomic status than you. Maybe they smelled different than you. Maybe they looked different than you. Maybe they didn't drive the car that you drive. Maybe they didn't wear the same clothes that you wear. Maybe they didn't eat at the same restaurants that you ate at. They were different than you, so you didn't overflow the love of God to them because you felt like someone else could do that for those people. You ever use that word? Well, I don't want to go there with those people. What does that even mean, those people? I'm not trying to put you in a situation to make you feel bad about yourself. What I'm trying to do is to get you into a point to understand that Jesus humbled himself to the lowliest of lowly positions to show people God's love. I feel like because our Messiah did that, that we should do that. Regardless of what we feel like, regardless of who we like and who we don't like, I feel like we should love people because of who he is, not for what they can do for us or what they are. I feel like we should do that. So for a lot of us, it's easy, though, to get God's blessings and love and come to church and to fit right in, right? I mean, that's what you do. We had this conversation to staff this week. I mean, it's comfortable for a lot of our church members, right? It's comfortable for you. You come in, you sit down, you don't think twice about walking in here, right? But what if you were a different race? What if you were a different gender? What if you were somebody who's had a troubled past and you walked in these doors? Would they feel the love of God as you feel the love of God? Would they be made to feel welcome outside of, hey, good morning. You doing good? Oh, what's your name? Okay. And that's it. Would there be more to that than that? Because see, being a Christian means that we've got to show God's love, right? We got to do more than just love on the surface level. We got to do more than just be like, oh, hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. Okay, praying for you. Really? How many times you said that? Pray for you. How many times you posted that on Facebook? Praying for you. Is that true? And then actually you pray for them? Or do you just say, I'm praying for you? I've done that. I'm a pastor. I've done that. Praying for you. Anybody else in the room? Raise your hand if you've done that before. Let me see. Don't lie. Look, there's only like 20 people out of y'all. Come on. I know all y'all in here been doing stuff like that. Let's go have lunch. Yeah, we'll catch up. Great. Call me. Sure. You never do. You never follow through. And what Christ is doing is calling us to follow through. See, because we can forget to pour out God's love on others, right? We can forget to do this and to serve people. See, and what happens is when we forget to pour out God's love on other people, our buckets become stagnant and nasty and gross. And literally, this vessel begins to grow this nastiness that's inside of it. Because the truth is, God's love was never meant to stay inside of you. He pours into you so that you will pour into other people. And when that bucket, that vessel stays where it is, it's not good. And maybe God's love is not pouring into you. Maybe your bucket is completely empty and dry. Because God's love is not inside of you. Because you're not a believer. Because you haven't been poured into. And there's a different dealings with both of those things. But we've got to make sure that we come back and focus on Christ. See, because we want to make sure that we are making much of him, not of ourselves. And this whole lesson here, when Jesus humbles himself, is saying, hey, it's not about you. It's not about you at all. If there's anybody who could say this, it's about me, and that would be Jesus. It's about me. It's about me. It's about me loving you. It's about me caring for you. It's about me providing for you, and you doing the same for others. And so when God fixes our hearts and we're forgiven of our sins and begins to work on that brokenness that's inside of us, he begins to fix that brokenness that's deep in our hearts, he begins to pour that love into us so that our bucket, our vessel, our heart will overflow and that we would go. And that we would serve and that we would show Christ's love to a dying, lost world and to people who need that love. Not the people that you're comfortable being around, not the people that sit around your dinner table necessarily, although it may be those people. And let me just, those may be the hardest people that you have to show God's love to, is your family. The people who you know you the closest, but need God the most. That let's not get away from that. The band's going to come and we're going to close this thing out. And see, as we sit here and we talk about God's love and sharing God's love, we want to make sure that we're doing that. We want to make sure that we are becoming a servant of the Lord and that God's love is completely overflowing and that we will go as the Bible declares and says, hey, you guys go. But see, love doesn't last when we make it stay still. God's love does not last if it just sits inside of this bucket. It gets stagnant and gross and icky and stanky. And that will overflow. That will consume your life. That nastiness, that hurtfulness, that depression, that icky way of thinking. See, because Jesus gives this example. He wants us to love others. He challenges his disciples. Hey, love one another. Serve one another. Let these blessings overflow from your heart so that people can experience my love. And so here's my challenge for you guys. Don't sit on the sidelines and watch somebody else serve and love God the way that he's calling you to love God. Don't allow that to happen. Because the work of the kingdom is plentiful. There are people who need God's love. Regardless of their race, regardless of their gender, regardless of their past, regardless of anything that's going on in their life, they still deserve God's love. And as believers, Jesus is calling us to overflow his love into their lives. And so I'm going to leave you with one more question. What overflows from your heart today? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're so grateful for Jesus. We're grateful for forgiveness. We're grateful that he chooses to use us despite ourselves. And God, we pray that we would be humble. God, that we would take on the attitude of Jesus as the first servant. God, that we would love people unconditionally. That we would love people without regret. That we would love people the way that you would love people. Not because of what they believe or what they don't believe or what they wear or what they don't wear or who they are, Father, but because of who you are. Father, teach us to love like you. Teach us to serve like you. Father, teach us to be humble like you. So that we can overflow with your love. Father, we pray for the brokenness in this room. God, that you would bring healing. We pray for the lost souls who may be watching or maybe in this room, God, that you would dive into their hearts. Father, their hearts would be changed because of you. That they would accept your forgiveness and grace that's found at the cross. That they would become a believer, Father, a follower of you, a disciple of Christ. Not for themselves, but for you. And God, we pray as your church, Father, that we would be a vessel for your love. God, that we would love a community, that we would love a state that is in a broken, broken state. Give us wisdom, Father, and how to proceed. Give us wisdom in the decisions to make. But Father, ultimately, we want you to receive glory and honor for all things that happen. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.